Okay, so let's go to scriptures. We'll get here closer to 12 o'clock. We're going to get you out of here so you know that when we're done, we're going to be done. So we're going to talk about finishing our assignment and carrying out our ministry or you know, you could talk about that. You can say, we talked about carrying out our ministry or finishing our assignment or doing God's purposes and plans for our lives. So let's look at a scripture over here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. And this scripture really speaks to us today and maybe about tonight even. Colossians 4, 17. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. Even, you know, that time there was somebody there who was maybe struggling to finishing off what God has called him to do. So I believe everyone here has a calling. I don't care who you are, God has something for you to do. And we're assigned to be with people. We're not to be alone, sitting at home alone. We need to be with one another. So Colossians 4:17 says, "Say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you." This is the Living Bible. "Carry out the ministry the Lord gave you." And I remember the time when the Lord spoke to me. I didn't see him with my own physical eyes, but I know the Lord came into my car. I'm driving down the road. It happened in a moment of time. Supernaturally, the Lord came into my car, Jesus himself. And he said to me, "What are you going to do with the ministry I've given you?" And I said, "What ministry?" I didn't know what it was. And so that's what kept me in the ministry. Otherwise, I could have been doing something else. My purpose at the time was to finish a PhD program. I was in the process of finishing, my master's and planning on going down east to do my PhD. That's over 36, 37 years ago. So, you know, I wanted to, this is what I wanted to do. This is my life. I'm sober. I got free from my drinking and all that. Now I got some decision. I want to do my own thing now. I want to work for myself. I got plans, and the Lord came and said, "This is what I want you to do." And so, first of all, I didn't know I had a ministry. Just like many of you here, you don't really know what you have. But underneath your spirit, you know you're called to do something. And I realized that as I sat under with different mentors, I had John Power as my mentor, and he would send me teachings all the time. He would talk to me. He'd come visit me. He'd bring me to Saskatoon and bring me and my wife. He'd take us around. He'd feed us, talk to us. And he talked to us about God and about serving him. And he was a good mentor. Same with Ross Miracle. He would send me stuff, talk to me about ministry. And so I had mentors who were, and Harmony Thiessen, who actually was babied us all the way through for over 5 years, kept us going. Every month for 5 years, I met with this woman. I wrote reports to her. Everything I did, every month, what I was reading, what I was praying about, what my church needed, what direction I'm doing, why is this happening, why is doing that, how is your sex life, how is your money, where are you spending your money? So I was responsible to this person in ministry. I'm glad that I did that because it kept me straight. It kept me really straight. And now I didn't like it. I thought it was the worst thing. You know, discipline doesn't feel good. You know, I say, why are you guys telling me all this stuff? So, but it helped me because I needed that. I needed someone who could take care of me spiritually. I didn't have much of that as I was growing up, but I needed somebody, and God provided those people for me. You know, how many people know that authority is there to protect you, to keep you going? You have that in your home. Your mom and dad is their first authority you have. Tell you, don't do this, do that, watch this, watch that. You see Solomon, David had that. His dad showed him what to do and all that, gave him a lot of instructions. And so this man evidently was just like every one of us here, that we didn't understand, we didn't know that we all have assignments. Sometimes we have an assignment to somebody or some place. Sometimes God tells you to go, and, like, for instance, Keith Moore, somebody that we admire very highly, was one of our teachers at the school at Rhema. And God told him, go help Brother Hagin. That's all it was. Go help Brother Hagin. And he stood with Brother Hagin for over 20, I'm not sure how many years, 20 years. And he served him. And so that's what it was. Elijah served Elijah. I can't remember, 17 years he worked with him, or, you know, over a period of time. And so we have this responsibility to carry out the ministry God has given us. The question is, do we know what God has predetermined for us as an assignment or for the purpose of our lives? If not, he has given you a purpose and he has given you a plan for why you're living in this world. You are here for a reason. You're here to fulfill God's plan. That's the main thing. Evidently, there are Christian people or workers like our Chip is in the church there, even there, maybe here, that needed to be exhorted. They needed to be encouraged to fulfill or to find out what God wants them to do. God had something to do for this man. And God has something to do for you. He wants you to fulfill and to be fulfilled as well. They say when you find something that you're supposed to be doing, it's such a fulfillment in your life. You get up every morning and you feel like, I got somewhere to go. I can be a purpose to someone. So ministry could mean, when you talk about ministry, it means, you know, assignment. It could mean a work that you have or a job or some kind of a project. I believe from time to time we all need encouragement to complete any kind of assignment. We do need to encourage each other. Every week we get together on Tuesday and we encourage each other for that week. What are you going to do this week? Who's helping you? Are you going to finish your job this week? If you don't finish, what about next week? So we continue to do that and we give scripture, look at the word, and we help each other. Every once in a while, my pastor calls me before a service or during the week and send me something and said, here's a good scripture for you, encouraging me. And I do that to a lot of people too. I send them a scripture sometimes. Maybe they don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just sending a good scripture. So let's help and encourage each other to fulfill what God has called us to do. Here's a scripture that it says here in Romans chapter 16, verse 1 to 2, the New Living Translation says this. And, you know, we need to encourage each other by coming alongside somebody and encouraging them to help them. So it says, I commend you to our sister, this is an NLT, I commend you to our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church at Centria. A deacon means a servant. It means, you know, somebody like a ministry, a helps person. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor. You know, we need to welcome each other. We need to be welcoming to each other. If you're going to encourage somebody, you need to be nice to them, right? Here's what I have. A friend of mine who is he presides over different churches, or at least it seemed to be. He wrote us. He says, he got so mad. I guess he was kind of mad at people because they weren't doing something. He said, how can we get people? So one of the things is that you try to help people is to train them, right? Train people how to serve. Because serving is not easy. Because people are not always nice. Christians are not always nice. Sometimes they come in, you know, cantankerous from the week because something ticked us off and we go back to our old fleshly ways and we get mad at people. When somebody's there, just, you know, they just want your fellowship. And so we got to be reminded, and that's why we have those monthly sessions, so that we're reminded to be nice to one another. And we don't know what kind of day something's happened. And I don't know what kind of night you had last night, you know. And so I'm thinking about different things that people go throughout the week. They have a hard time. And so when you come here, you know, our workers, we try to train our workers, hey, be nice to people. They're here. They got a lot on their mind. You know, when we're worshiping God, they might not feel like worshiping right away. So we're going to have to exhort people to worship. Don't try to force them. You know, let's encourage people to get into worship. So sometimes that can be difficult for all of us. So we have to honor each other. It says, who's worthy of honor. Evidently, this woman, Phoebe, was worthy of honor. In other words, to mention this person, to talk about that person, to admire that person, to value that person's contribution. Honor that person, whatever they're doing. you know, we should look at them and say, you know, this person is doing a great job. Not everybody likes to be honored the same way. There are people in this church, they never want to step up here, ever. They don't want to be here. They like to be out in the background. You could give them a nice little card or something, or shake their hand and let them know. But a lot of times, there are some people who could just come up here and spend all afternoon talking to you. So there's people that are different, right? So we try to teach people at those meetings that everyone is different as far as how you honor someone. It says, help her in whatever she needs. You know, we all need help. Every one of us needs help in some way. You know, Pastor Ken came by, and thank God he needed to throw an old mattress he had. I needed the mattress. So we got Sterling, and he had a truck. So Sterling is a good guy to be around with. So he came over, Sterling helped. So in fact, we didn't have to, he went on his own to take the thing away. I don't know where he dropped it, maybe he sold it. <You know? laughs> I'm just kidding. Though, anyway, sometimes we need each other. You know, here's what Keith Moore used to say. People need you when they need you. People need you when they need you. It's too late after. 2 weeks after, hey, I'm better now. Crisis is over. They're all dead. And so, anyway, so help her whatever she needs. So sometimes people need you for different reasons. You know, can you help me with this ladder or something? The other day we came here, people were painting outside because we don't have enough to finish off this other side, so we had to do some painting, scraping and painting so that we protect the wood a little bit. So some people came in here to work until 5, 6 o'clock. So it's important. So whatever she needs, she has been helpful to many, and especially to me. Paul reckoned that evidently this woman called Phoebe, she helped a lot of people. And particularly for himself, he wanted them to know that he was helpful to her. Can you identify somebody in your life that's been very helpful to you? You know, there's somebody special there, right, that helped you, and you're always grateful for that, and we'll never forget those people. It's very important that we continue the work in the local church for the sake of those who are not connected to the body of Christ and those who are connected, because people need somewhere to go. The people around us need us. They need us to work for the Lord, in the Lord's business. They're counting us to do our share of work. And there's people who are counting on you to do your share of work. And we're doing this together. It's not just one person. You know, I don't particularly think I'm a great preacher, but I do my best when I'm here. I try to do my best. I'm not the best orator. I know there's people who can speak better than me, speak louder and harder. But for some reason, God called me. And to humiliate. To humble people, maybe. Maybe that's the psychological blunder there. You know, to humble you, maybe. I don't know. Because I wouldn't pick me, honest to God, and forever. I would never call myself to the ministry. I know for a fact. I didn't want to be a minister. I didn't want to do this. And if I knew what it would take me through for those years, I would have never done it for sure. Sometimes it looked like a lot of fun. You know, Sunday morning is probably the highlight of what we do. And then sometimes you don't want to even preach because but you still have to do it, right? So anyway, Archippus, in his case, God wanted him to go forward so that other people can be helped, because I'm sure Archippus was very, very important to people. And you have to understand that you are important to somebody. You know, what you do here is very important. Like, you might not think anything of yourself. Like me, I had to really look at myself and say, okay, yeah, I am important. It took me many years to think, yeah, you're okay. You're important. God wants you to be there. And you're important to people. You're important to this city. You're important to people in this city. And I realized that today, not back then, and I don't ever think about it. Here, for instance, somebody, you know, we're having a meeting, like I didn't put this on, but it just sometimes things fall in your lap because you happen to be a minister. So Jonathan Miracle was called to come here to do a meeting over here to fundraise for Salvation Army. So he asked me, would you mind if I did something at your church and you know, it went on and on and on. Then another church called me, Redwood Park called me, and said, we know him, we'd like to be part of it. So then all of a sudden we got three or four churches that want to be part of it. How big is your church? I said, well, we could cram jam 400 people in here. We have 250 people, chairs out, or we could put 300 out. You know, COVID, nobody wants to sit close to each other, right? So we have to put a limit on it so that we don't jam everybody together. So we're going to put about maybe 300 to 50 chairs here so that people, you have a ticket and you can come participate in that service. So I forget what the point I was going to make about Jonathan coming, but we didn't, things just happened there where if you're in the right place, people are going to be asking for help, right? So we said, okay, let's be a blessing to John. I don't particularly need somebody to come and do a concert. We're not looking to do that, but it's going to be something good for us, for the community. Let's do it. So we went ahead and did it anyway, and it requires other people here to do work. So helping is a biblical fact in the Bible that we're required to help somebody. If it's not our vision, somebody else's vision. We need to help somebody do what God called them to do. You have to see yourself in the picture. God wants me there to serve in what God wants to do here. So say, for instance, Moses. He required help from Aaron and Hur in an instant where they were holding up his hands, holding his staff up in his hands. I don't know if you saw that in the 17th chapter, I believe it's Exodus. They held his hands over his head. Well, Jonathan, at that same time, took his fighting man to fight the Amalekites. You see, even Moses had a great miracle ministry, and yet he needed personal people around him who did practical work to serve in the ministry. You'll see that all through his readings. You'll see how he needed people to do little jobs. Things that were very, very important. There was even down to detail where they built the tabernacle, and they needed specific people to do certain things. So Exodus 17, 8 to 13 says this, while the people of Israel were at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalekite attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men and go out and fight the army of Amalek. For as tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses commanded, and he fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of the nearby hill. As Moses held up his staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. Now, this is a picture of intercession, spiritual warfare, helping, praying. And Moses' arms soon became very tired, so he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on, and they stood on the side of each other, holding up his hands. So Moses held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalekites. So it wasn't just one guy doing it. Yeah, Moses, yeah, he's got a great anointing. He can preach. No, he actually couldn't preach. His brother did the preaching, and he wasn't really a good speaker. Don't be fooled, like, just because you can't speak. God can do whatever, right? Provide you whatever. And if you don't have the information you need now, God will provide you with the information you need. So this guy needed all these other folks to fulfill God's plan. So it's not just one person. It's a whole pile of people doing something for God. So please be aware that we're in this together. So God has specific tasks assigned for everyone. In every case, God has a very special job for each one of us to do, particularly in a local church setting. It might be a small thing, could be a larger thing, could be a longer thing, a longer project, could be a short project. In Romans 12, verse 4 to 6, Paul mentions that we are all interconnected and that we have a special work to do in that sense because we are connected somehow. And we all have different abilities. We have different functions. All this is for the honor of God. We honor God in doing that. We glorify Him. We offer praise. And this is not for our personal benefit. When we come and serve, it's not to show how talented we are, how great we are, how our skills are. And God gives us you know, a talent. God blesses us, like my wife was talking about. God gives everybody something. And that gift can be used in a variety of ways, not just one way. It could be used in a variety of ways. Say, for instance, you're a teacher. God could use you teaching children. He could help you write books or whatever. That job can be done in so many ways to be a blessing to the church. Every one of us has been given an assignment. In this life, you might not know, but it's there somewhere in you. Whether it's a full-time ministry, serving full-time in church, or in some kind of ministry. It could be the ministry of help somewhere in the church where you belong to a certain group of people, or maybe head up a certain area. Some people call them volunteers, but we call them here ministry helps or service ministries, depending on what you want to call them. Out there outside the church are called volunteers. We need to find out what God, the Lord, has planned for us to do in life. Every once in a while, we need to evaluate what our next task should be. Sometime in the future, God will require us to give an account. As the Bible says in Romans 10:14-10 says, declares that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, of God. In this verse 14:14 says there that yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. New Living Translation says, not one of us will be excused from giving an account. We'll be judged according to our faithfulness and loyalty to God and to those He's given us leadership over us. So Hebrews 13:7-17 speaks of that we're accountable to those that God has given us who lead us. If we're going to give account, if we're going to give a report, we must know what we're going to be doing. We should know exactly what our jobs are so that someday we can be confident. Don't be afraid of this personal account, because when you go, every one of us as Christians are accountable to Jesus. He's going to ask you, what did you do with my gifting? And He's not going to whip you around. I mean, this is not a scary thing. He's going to ask you one day. He will ask you about it. That's what the Bible says. It's not a time where He's going to terrorize you. No, you're just going to be accountable to God. So I used to be afraid of this kind of scripture because I thought, I'm going to be afraid of Jesus. He's going to embarrass me. No, He's not going to embarrass you. He won't embarrass you. It's just that it says in there that you'll lose out on the blessings. You know, and in fact, somebody else will get your blessing that you didn't see. He used for your job, and they get the blessing. And that's what the scripture says. It's there in the scripture. So right from the beginning of time, when we were born, 2 Timothy 1:9 says that God saved us and called us with a holy calling. This is a pastor, a minister talking to a pastor. With a holy calling, the word holy means separated, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose, His grace, which was given to us in Christ before the world began. In other words, before the world, He created the world, He already had a plan for you. Isn't that amazing, right? He had a plan for what you're going to be doing. Pastor Ken, God told you, got to go and help over here. Like, you know, this guy, you see this guy? We got a little joke going. But anyway, he came to serve. And that's what he does. And so that's what he wants to do. And a lot of times he does things that I tell him, I didn't ask you to do that. And he does it anyway. Sometimes he does too much of it. He goes ahead, breaks things. we all call to do something, to serve. So God has a plan for every one of us. Romans 12:3 says, number one, God has given you faith. Grace and faith, number two. Grace, number one. Faith, two. In other words, God will give you the ability to complete the task. Romans 12:3. You know, it talks about in Romans 12, to offer your body's living sacrifice. In other words, all your energy and your strength should be going to God. Serving God, what do you want to do? Then we should say, Lord, what do you want me to do? See, all your time shouldn't be in the world. Reserve some of your time for God. Like in the local church, this is where God brought you. You should have some time here. Okay? Not just to show up, run in and run out. There's something you should do. Get to know somebody here. serve somebody. Like, you're not too big to serve somebody. You know? Some people say, well, I'm too important. No, you're not that important. The Bible says if you're with God, you're not that important. Serve somebody. I had one guy one time says, no, I'm too good of a musician to work with those guys. Well, no, God, then show them how. Bring up the team and give them something. And so it says in Romans 12:16 that we should be to the place where we could associate with somebody who's actually not as talented as you are. So we could bring somebody's talent up a little bit. So that's why they have, if you take for instance, the Boston Bruins. We use them for this morning. They usually bring a good player to help an older player to help a younger player to make him good, right? So you bring somebody in to bring somebody else, lift them up a little bit, right? So here we go. In Romans 12, 1-4, the good news. I know my brother here last week. Now, he would think I'm right out of the will of God because I'm using all these other versions. He said, Jesus, this is King James, this is it. As far as you're concerned, any other version is demonic. So it was scary. Like, I would say, I'll help you out next time. But we don't always share the same ideas. Like, don't be hard on me because, hey, I'm helping you. I opened the door for you. You know what I'm saying? So if he comes back here, some of you have NLT yet, NIV, MSG, GLT, all these versions, all the kind of versions, right? So, but I swear that the King James is one of the best translations. It's not the most perfect, but it's the best. I learned that in Rhema, because there's some things there that's not right on, but it's one of the best. Word for word translation we're talking about. So then, my brothers and sisters, because God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is true worship you should offer. Do not conform yourself to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly and by complete change of your mind. Then you'll be able to know the will of God. How will you know the will of God? By changing your mind, what God says. What is good and pleasing to him, what is perfect, because God's gracious gift to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. So, I was thinking about that one pastor, a minister, I was talking about that one time, and he said, okay, he didn't say not to think highly of yourself, didn't say not to overestimate yourself. That's what he's talking about. So, instead, be modest in your thinking, and judge yourself according to the amount of faith that God has given you. We all have many parts in one body, and all parts have different functions. Romans 4:7 says this, yet grace, God's undeserved favor, was given to each one of us, not indiscriminately, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ, his rich, abundant gift. So God had apportioned us grace or the ability to serve him. And that's why I like that scripture that says that God's grace and his faith gives us that ability to finish what God wants us to do. So I want you to understand that there'll be hindrances, the scripture says, in our lives. Because there are things going to hinder you. Sometimes it's just things that they're not against God's will, but they're things that you're doing that's outside of what God wants you to do for the moment. It could be anything. Sports, perhaps. Maybe it's golfing. Maybe golf, God doesn't want you to golf now. Maybe for after. So you take all your golf time and then you don't come to church, or you use all your weekend golfing and you miss church, which God wants you to do, wants you to participate in. So there'll be hindrances. Like this man here, he took time off. Joe, are you going to continue that later on? Yeah, okay. So you'll be the next pastor here. We're going to crown you right now. Yeah, you needed a guy like that, right? So you might have to fight giants to fulfill your call. It could be poverty. It could be from your own self. It could be your self-image. That I can't do it. I'm not good enough, you know. So there's people that are fighting these giants, and they can't go beyond where God wants them. But God will tell them, listen, I've given you a talent. And it's not you doing it anyway. It's me. And don't worry about the people. You worry about me. I'm giving you an assignment. That's what God wants. And so we're not going to give account. When you go to heaven, you're not going to give account to Pastor Ken or me. You're going to give account to God. You say, what did you do with the gift? Well, I hid it. Well, take his gift and put it over here. Pastor Ken, what did you do? I didn't do very much. Well, you give it. So give it to Pastor Roma. Pastor Ken, what Pastor Roma, what didn't you do this? No. Well, we'll give it to Pastor Steve. So you know what I'm saying? So God will do that. So anyway, let's all close with some shouts of joy. Amen. I just want to encourage you this morning to finish up your calling, because it's not going to be always nice. You're going to be fun all the time, but I think about the days we were driving to Geraldton over the years, and how many moose we saw on the road. Oh man, that was scary. Thank you, Lord. Well, I hope I didn't yell at you and preach. Sometimes you don't know how you come across, because my wife tells me, you know, hey, that was a little hard, or you should have done this, whatever. So she tells me what to do sometimes. If I listen, I'll be okay. Praise God. Anybody ever tell you what to do, Lisa? Somebody tells you what to do, yeah? You tell you what to do? Yeah. Pastor Steve, eh? So that we take care of each other. Lord, we want to thank you that we have a place to come to this morning, and we want to thank you that we have a calling, each one of us. We're going to take care of that calling. We're going to nourish it. We're going to cherish it. We're going to say, yeah, I'm valuable. I'm a valuable member. I know everybody wants to be important. Everybody wants to be significant. Everybody wants a purpose. And so we know for a fact they have a purpose here. They have a purpose to fulfill God's plan for this church and for this purpose. And whatever gifting you've gave them, whatever area that you've given them, they're going to use their gifting, their talent, and be an encouragement. And they're going to bless other people and take that talent and multiply it in many, many ways. We want to thank you for that ability this morning that you've given us, and that faith to fulfill the plan of God. We praise you and thank you. If there's somebody here this morning that needs to come back to Jesus, he said, I've been away from God. I want to fulfill my plan. If you're here this morning, say, I need to come back to Jesus. I've been away from God. Lift up your hand. I want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody here said, I want to. Everybody's okay. And most of you are saved this morning, born again. If you're not, if you're watching online, you can come to Jesus too. You can receive him and say, Jesus, I need you. I want you. I realize I'm not saved. Come in my heart. Wash me with your blood. I confess you as my Lord, my Savior, and I know for a fact this morning I heard the message that you're calling me to yourself, and I have a purpose and a plan, and I'll fulfill that in the name of Jesus. Amen.